Scott Engel of the Fantasy Sports Network here with Sean Doolittle of the Nationals. Sean, when you found out about the trade and knowing that the Nationals were looking to fill the closer spot for a long time, did that really give you something to look forward to, knowing that you might be locking the door for a team like this?
Yeah, it was really exciting. I mean, I'd heard my name in trade rumors for a few years, and you know, when it happened, when I finally got the news, there were a lot of emotions, but you know, once I joined the team, you know, Dusty Baker, the manager at the time, you know, said I was going to be in that role, and that's exciting to think, you know, there's a playoff team out there that thinks that, you know, you can help them be even better than they already are. I mean, that gives you a lot of confidence, thinking that, you know, they think that you're a piece to this puzzle that can, you know, get them to the next level. So for me, it was confidence building. It was energizing. It's been really exciting so far.
And how comfortable you coming here? Used to vacation here in the off season. I read with your wife.
Yeah, man, we would always come out here because we had been on the West Coast. So anytime we came back to the East Coast, we tried to swing through New York. It was always, you know, I grew up in New Jersey, so I spent a lot of time in New York City when I was a kid and growing up, and it was always, you know, a place we liked to come in the fall before it got too cold, and you know, enjoy the city a little bit. So it's good being back on the East Coast now. You know, D.C. Close to where I grew up, close to family. It's been good.
Specifically, you used to come to, like, Washington and, you know, check out all the historic sites, right?
Yeah, because it was kind of like a trade-off, you know. Like, I wanted to go visit UVA, where I went to school at UVA, and I would want to go visit, and there was no way that we were going to get that close, you know, and not go to, to D.C., see like some of the museums and do the Smithsonian and stuff. My wife wasn't going to go for that, so we had to make sure we blocked off a few days to kind of explore DC. So we did that for a couple off seasons. So it's really cool that you know, we ended up here, and we love it.
Do you feel, and I've spoken to a lot of relievers about this, and they seem to agree that there's a closer mentality? It's kind of different mentally pitching in the ninth inning than other innings.
Yeah, well, the ninth inning is different. You can take that mentality into any role that you have. But the ninth inning, there's a different energy about it. You know, especially when you're on the road. And a lot of times, it's not about the stuff that the guy has in that inning. A lot of times, it's about how can you manage that energy level? How can you manage that adrenaline rush? You know, you got the crowd, you got... you know, you have a lot of different factors that come into play in the ninth inning when you're trying to get those last three outs. So usually, you know, the guy that can remain the most poised and the most calm has the best chance to get it done.
Statistically, nobody in the majors over the last few years generates more swings and misses outside the strike zone than you do. What do you feel the reason for that is?
Well, I know my fastball has a little bit of deception to it, and I know that I've been able to command the ball within the strike zone really, really well. You don't get guys to chase it if you can't prove that you can throw strikes and put the ball where you want. So I feel like I've been able to move the fastball around the zone and pitch to both sides of the plate, whether it's lefties or righties. And then I don't think a lot of those chases are too far outside the strike zone. I've been able to execute those high fastballs that are just above the top of the zone that look really good to the hitter coming out of the hand. Because, you know, if I can throw strikes, especially early in the count, I feel like I can dictate the rest of the at-bat. I feel like I can expand the strike zone when I want to and get them to swing at, you know, my pitch.
And for most of your career, you really relied just mostly on the fastball, which is unique. Do you think that's because of the deception of your delivery and the angle that you throw your ball at?
Yeah, very early on in my career, I got burned a couple times on some off-speed pitches, and I got pulled aside by coaches and members of the A's organization. You know, they really encouraged me to throw the fastball and to trust it. And, you know, my off-speed stuff over the course of my career hasn't been as consistent as I would have liked it. It kind of has been an ongoing work in process, a work in progress, but... You know, the fastball, the deception that it has, the velocity, the ability to move the fastball around the zone I can keep guys off balance enough, you know, by doing that and expanding the zone when I get ahead in the count. So I just try to keep it simple.
You're a big Star Wars fan. Your Twitter tag is Obi Sean Kenobi. What did you think of the last movie, and how much are you looking forward to the Han Solo movie?
I loved the last movie. I know it kind of got mixed reviews from Star Wars fans, but I only think that's because they took some risks with it, and it was different. I liked it. I saw it three times. Each time I saw it, I liked it better. So, you know, I don't really know what to expect from the new Han Solo movie. I know I'm really excited for it, but like I did with Rogue One, I try not to look at any, trailers or fan theories. I want to go into it, you know, with no expectations and go into it kind of cold and not knowing what to expect. But, you know, I've seen some stuff about the cast, and obviously Ron Howard's directing it, so I'm really excited for it.
Gio Gonzalez is a big Marvel fan. Do you find you and him have a lot in common?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that have stuff like that. I think Tanner's another one. He's pretty into that stuff as well. So it makes for it's fun, man. It's just something we enjoy in our downtime or on long flights or something like that. So it's fun to talk about that stuff.
What a lot of guys like to do in the clubhouse. Maybe you don't, but. To that downtime is to play fantasy football, and in fantasy baseball, people like to draft you because of your ability to get saves and generate strikeouts. When people say to you, "Hey, Sean, I have you on my fantasy baseball team," you take that as a compliment.
But I take it with a grain of salt, to be honest, because the same people that tell me that are the same people that also tell me after a bad game that I lost the game for him in fantasy, that I blew it for him this week in their matchup. So, it's good. I'm glad like the fans enjoy it, but to be honest, like, I don't care. Sorry.
It's something you have to tune out, like the rest of the media kind of things
sometimes,
that go on.
Sometimes, yeah. A lot of it, you got to take it with a grain of salt, especially as a reliever, because, you know, there's no gray area in our jobs, you know, and we hear about it when we're doing really well, and unfortunately we hear about it after a tough one. So it's just kind of one of those things that I try to keep at an arm's length, keep from getting too high or too low. I think it's cool. I got a lot of friends, you know, at home, buddies I went to high school with, played college ball with, that always make sure I end up on their team. So I think it's fun. It's fun. So but it's just not something I'm into.
Tell us about the charity work you do. Like you went up, you grew up in a military family, and you've been tied to some programs that help the military with housing and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm a military brat. My dad was in the Air Force, and my stepmom is in the Air National Guard, and it's a big part of my life growing up. And my wife's brother's active duty Air Force as well, so veterans issues are very, very important to us, and we've gotten involved with several groups, the Brookings Institute.
Operation Finally Home?
Well, yeah, Operation Finally Home is one of the charities that we work with, but in order to get informed, as you know, on veterans issues, they're extremely complex. A lot of people just think veteran has all of these benefits and government programs to help them out, and unfortunately, there are, you know, some gaps in there that I think we could do a better job of taking care of our veterans. So we still lose 20 a day to suicide, and Operation Finally Home is a great organization that builds homes from scratch, brand new homes, and they go to wounded veterans and their families of the fallen, and it's been really cool to see how a lot of times that's the biggest issue that veterans face when they transition out of the military is, you know, getting their feet back under them and going through that smooth transition process. And if you can take, you know, the biggest worry off their plate and give them a place to live, it's amazing to see how they go from serving their country to serving their community, the way they get involved, the way they thrive. So it's a really inspiring group to be a part of because they do some amazing things.
Sean, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks for having me.